Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
It's always nice to be able to be recognized and stuff like this. And obviously, congratulations to Jordan Romano as well. but yeah, I think it's always an exciting play to get a chance to play in the game this year as well.
You seem happy about it.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. Obviously, it's such an honor to be able to go to events like this, and now being able to go again. And it's always a really, really cool event, and I'm just hoping to go out there and hoping to soak everything up. Plus, the jerseys look a little bit better this year than last year.
That is Liam Hendricks going to the All-Star Game. It was announced today. He will be there for the third time. Brian, you know, we've been kind of complaining, whining, and moaning just a little bit. I've been part of that, too, that Dylan didn't get recognized. But I'd rather have him pitch today than to be worried about being involved in the All-Star Game. He'll certainly have his shot in the future. But Liam Hendricks is going, and he mentioned something. The uniforms. Are you one of those guys that wants to see the way they used to do it old school, that every player wears their actual team jersey?
It doesn't bother me either way. I mean, but
you don't have an opinion either way?
I don't get caught up. I mean, you know, I'm not one of those guys, as soon as the new version of the new era hat comes out, I got to order one of those.
Right. Well, you don't have to be. I'm just saying, tradition-wise, I actually would like to see them go back to that. I don't want to see the All-Star.
That's how I grew up watching it.
Yeah, right.
Certainly,
right.
It wouldn't offend me. I actually enjoy that, too. But, I get it's all merchandising now. They're selling those things.
And there are people that will buy the All-Star jersey every year, and that is why they do it.
Well, I mean, it's the black Blackhawks jersey. It's the orange Bears jersey. Why do you want that?
I'm kind of guilty of some of that.
Okay, but I mean that it's all about. Well, you can't make money off of a jersey that's been around for 10 years, right? So we all know
I get why they do that. I just wish that they would go back to that. I mean, they can still create an All-Star jersey, and maybe they wear it during warm-ups or something like that. Give it a little field time, but then everybody put their original jerseys on, the most famous version of it.
Well, and you know what? And he absolutely deserves to be there because.
Oh yes, he does.
Where would they be without? Where would the White Sox be without him or without Liam?
And he had a tough stretch early in the season.
Yeah,
but he rebounded like good pitchers do, and we hope Lance Lynn can do the same.
Yeah, and to your point about Dylan Cease, I mean, how important is this game? I mean,
like we do this every day, but you're right. Every game seems to be important, and this one is very important, and we've got our best pitcher stats-wise.
You won the first two games of the four-game set, and now if you don't salvage three of four, you go into the All-Star break with a bad taste collectively in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You're back to being 5-under. You're back to being in the same spot in the same
running run. In place.
And now the road trip that started off poorly and then we got excited because you took care of business Thursday and Friday. Now it's a 4-4 road trip, and that's not good enough.
No.
I mean, we talked about this stretch of 19 games, and it's just been win one, lose lose two, win two, win four, and then you decide that yesterday you competed. Okay, good for you. You got to win this one. Dylan Cease is huge, but so is the offensive. You know, give him some support. I fully believe Dylan Cease isn't going to dig the hole that we saw Lance Lynn dig yesterday. So I think Dylan still leads Major League Baseball in strikeouts per 9 innings.
Yes, he does. He's got 142 total, 2.30 ERA, 8-4 record, versus Chris Archer 2-3, 3.08 ERA, 47 strikeouts. 47 versus 142. So we know that Dylan does great with day starts, and obviously he's been dominating. We just hope that he can go a little deeper, although who do we have available? We've got Reynaldo Lopez, or did he pitch yesterday? No, I don't think he did. I think we saw Ruiz and Foster yesterday. Okay, mm-hmm. So that means that we could have Graveman available. We could have Kelly. Didn't pitch yesterday, and we have Reynaldo, seemingly. So, yeah, we have to put that run support behind him for sure. We need this, no doubt.
It's huge, and it's, you can't just sit here and say, okay, well, we played hard, things didn't go our way. This is it's a two-game swing. They all have been. But when you start with the momentum you had after winning Thursday and Friday, mm-hmm. it would be very, very, very disappointing to kind of stumble and bumble back into the break. You haven't been above 500 since, was it, since the 25th of May?
Yes.
Think about that.
I know. That is a tough stat. One game below, we win today. We're at 500 at the All-Star break. We don't have Jimenez. We really haven't had him most of the year. We don't have Luis Robert, and that's going to hurt us because he has been a hot bat. Little questionable in the field. We still don't know what's going on with him officially. He's going to get checked out more by a doctor once they're back in Chicago. Tomorrow, we've got Owen on the line here, and he's in Willowbrook. We heard from him yesterday. Joining us today on ESPN 1000. Hey, Owen, what's up?
Hey, guys. Just want to kind of get your opinion. You know, La Russa in the past has always said, if you look at games, it's usually one big inning that beats you. And I'm going back to yesterday's game.
Mm-hmm.
And I know with the All-Star break coming up, and Lynn hasn't been very good this year, after he gives up his first homer that he gave up in the third inning after giving up the leadoff homer, and you have Lopez with the All-Star break coming up, would you have given him the quick hook or just let him try to get right?
You know, I actually think Lance Lynn needs to find a way to get right, and it didn't work yesterday. If he were Kopech, I think that choice might have been a little different as far as I'm concerned. But I wasn't totally shocked that he didn't give him the hook. He tried to get him, try to let him work his way out of it, and it didn't happen.
Gotcha. Yeah, I go back and forth because obviously it's not a do or die game by any means.
Right.
But I just think that maybe you need to get him right for the second half. I don't know. But,
well, we're going to look. No, there's no doubt. Brian, you would agree. There's no doubt we need Lance Lynn to get right. And if this was his last bad start in this All-Star break, it helps him to get right for the next start, because we think his next start is going to be very pivotal to see if we can rely on him or not.
Well, look, I mean, the numbers are Dallas Keuchel-like, and that's disappointing.
Unfortunately, yeah.
But he's not, I mean,
he's
I don't
not
get
Dallas
that,
Keuchel.
I don't get that same vibe at all.
Right.
And he did have the injury, but, you know, the three games, the last three starts, not nearly good, no. I mean, awful. And it's, you know, six runs on three hits. Okay, they all went over the wall. So, I mean, you need this guy, and you need him in a huge way. This team, when you're down six runs like that, your win probability, the other team's win probability is like 99%, right?
Yep.
So, good luck. I mean, you know, it's great that they didn't give up, but most teams can't overcome that kind of start.
Right. Lance really put him behind the eight ball, and again, there was really no quit, something we've seen a lot of this past, you know, this season in past games, but today is a must win, and thankfully, aside from Robert not being in the lineup, you can't really say we're missing Yasmani, right? You can't really say we're missing Eloy Jimenez.
No.
We are missing Robert, but the rest of the guys are in the lineup, and certainly we've had Moncada starting to hit. Abreu's been rock solid. Yeah, you know, TA's been in and out of it, but you know, we've got our best situation as far as the pitcher goes today, for sure.
Well,
try to win this game.
You mentioned Luis Robert, and when obviously you're missing his bat. I think you brought this up last week. I'm easily confused between Motley Crue and Metallica, obviously,
yeah.
And Exhibit A. This was an interesting item in the Sun-Times today. I believe it was Mark Gonzalez. It was Daryl Van Schaun. The regular beat guy for the Chicago Sun-Times covering the White Sox. A note on Luis Robert's defense. His fielding has been noticeably off this season. Defensive metrics show what eyes have seen. Robert won a gold glove in his rookie season 2020 with 8 defensive runs saved per Fangraphs and was at 4 in 2021. Robert is a -4 this season. Coach Daryl Boston, who works with the outfielders, attributes Robert's performance to his legs being at less than 100%. How many times have we heard this? You know, fill in someone else's name. Tim Anderson, whomever.
Andrew Vaughn. Yep.
Quote, there have been some balls in the past he was able to get to, but he's coming off some leg issues and maybe some tough skies. Oh, boy, the sky, high sky. Daryl Boston told the Sun-Times. A lot of it has to do with his legs. He's not running as much on the bases. He's on the do not run list because of his legs. To bust at full speed, some balls have fallen in front of him. Robert has 11 stolen bases, but is 0-for-1 since June 12th. So if that's going to be, and he's out with lightheadedness, but if the legs are an ongoing issue and that's what he's going to live with this season, that's not what you call encouraging.
No. I mean, that's one of his strengths, right? I mean, that's what got him a gold glove.
He you know, we're like, he's just covering the outfield by himself, right?
Right.
A couple of years ago, he'd be corner to corner. It's like, get out of my way.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. The captain of the outfield. We saw the double bobblehead, a famous when Eloy just kind of folded his arms and let Luis catch something in left field. He's not that guy right now, and that does concern us. However, his bat has really come around, and that's been impressive.
Oh, it's been unbelievable.
He hasn't been stealing either. And now we have a new wrinkle that's not connected to his legs at all. This lightheadedness.
Somebody
mentioned allergies. Did I hear? I think it was Gordon Beckham. I don't know if they were joking around, but I've certainly been lightheaded in the summertime and contribute to allergies. But then again, I just don't drive or play baseball.
Right.
And unfortunately, I hope that's not the case.
Well, and Tony said that they're going to take a quote unquote good look at him tomorrow in Chicago when they
and as we said earlier, that seems concerning. It seems like if it were something simple, it would have been determined already what that would have been in Minnesota.
If it was dehydration, you give him an IV and say, OK, look, we got it under control. Right?
Yep. I mean, yep. Yes, some concerns. But today, again, Dylan Cease on the mound. That's our best situation and a must-win up in Minnesota. We've got a hit break here. We'll come back. Got a couple of Twitter polls to wrap up, and we'll set you up with a few things you need to know before we get to the pregame with Tyler Aki. First pitch against the Twins at 110 on your home for Chicago White Sox baseball. ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Hanley and Xander here until 12:30. Got a few things to clean up. We'll wrap up those Twitter polls at ESPN 1000 on Twitter. We got a tweet here, Brian, from Matt Chu. Peacock is free, though. Let's explain. I was talking to Jake about this. I don't subscribe to Peacock. Peacock is a subscription service. However, there are some things that are free, like Friday Night Baseball on Apple. You don't have to be a subscriber to get that. What that is they're trying to get you to sample, to sign up.
And you still have to jump through the hoops.
And you still have to, no doubt you have to jump through the hoops. And that's not even talking about the fact that it was not promoted adequately.
Right.
And MLB did not, force their hand to do that, which makes absolutely no sense.
You're moving the game from the first day of the All-Star break to a Saturday night when Major League Baseball is still playing,
right?
Which makes no sense. But I have signed up for a Peacock. I didn't know if I was paying for it or not, but I had to go, take my remote and click 2, 3, whatever. Like Jake said, it's just not worth his time, right? He went and found a cooking show. And even if it's free, and I didn't know if I was paying for it or not because I have, like a lot of people don't even know how many subscriptions you have, from Netflix to
Amazon. You forgot what you sign up for, and then all of a sudden you look at your monthly statement. It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
What am I doing?
But I do remember that I had to, click on 2 or 3 different things and, whatever. And I was like halfway through it, I'm like, what, do I really care? And it's like, I don't even remember what I was trying to see. So,
I just want to straighten that out because, these streaming services, they offer things like Paramount offers. Well, there's a show, Kevin Costner's in it. It's like a
1893.
No. It's
not Keystone.
Is it Keystone? Is it Keystone? Is that the name of it? There's a series that Yellowstone. That's it.
Sorry, yeah.
It's been recommended to me, and I went to Paramount, and you can see like season 2, 3, and 4, but they don't give you 1. So they make you sign up if you want to see the whole thing. And who wants to jump in on season 2?
Well, Peacock, because I was telling Xander in the break that they were trying to get you could like watch a couple episodes of The Office, and then you would have to get the basic level of the subscription to see whatever season 4 or 5. And then I think you had to like go another level above that to pay with no ads to see all
of it. It's the old drug pusher approach, right?
Well, first
you give
free.
It away free until you hook them.
Well,
then they pay.
My older brother loves Yellowstone, and for the last couple of years been telling me I gotta watch. And that 1893 is the prequel to Yellowstone.
Oh, is that what that is? Okay.
And so I started watching that, and it's very well done. And Tim McGraw and his wife are the leads in that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very slow moving. So, I mean, I watched about four episodes, and I haven't watched it in maybe a month or so because it's, again, well acted, well written, well shot, the whole thing, well produced. It's a little too slow for me. So, but, you know, I figured Yellowstone, it was too many seasons in. I wasn't going back to start that, but I figured I'll take up the prequel and see if I like it. But yeah, your head spins. I mean, you've told me some, you know, things I should be watching, and I appreciate that. But boy, my list, it's like of all the things that we sat down, you'd be sitting there watching TV for a month. You know,
absolutely. I found myself, I just finished Better Call Saul, which was the prequel to Breaking
sure.
Bad.
Right.
And they're wrapping up. I think they're wrapping up filming the last final season. Then we have to wait for that. Ozark, I finished that. I'm one away from finishing Peaky Blinders.
Wasn't this the last season of Better Call Saul? Like, they were into the final episodes, right?
Right. They've yet to release them, I believe.
Right.
Because, and maybe you've done this, I watched, after the Sox game, I watched Better Call Saul, and then it ended, and it didn't slide into a next episode. And I lost track of where I was. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm at the end?
Yeah.
I'm done. I gotta wait now.
After the Cubs' second game, I started watching Bosch Legacy. I'm, I don't know, almost six episodes into that because I like Bosch. And, you know, you and Fred, I think, watched Bosch before.
I have not done Bosch yet.
Oh, okay. Well, this is Bosch Legacy. So it's the spinoff, and I really enjoy it. But, again, there's just so much that you could consume, and, you know, and you're watching sports and doing everything else.
How simple was life in the 70s when we just waited for 7 p.m. when Three's Company was on?
Oh,
on Thursday,
I never liked that show.
Or you didn't?
No. 23579 and channel.
Why didn't you? Suzanne Summers was on there. What are you nuts?
Boy,
see,
you
for me,
go back and look at that now. It's
no, that still stands up. John Ritter was a funny guy. Yeah, look, I will be the first to admit many of those shows are ridiculous to watch in reruns. Now, I actually got sucked into an episode recently, and I'm like, you know what? This still is funny. I'm just saying.
Okay.
We've got Mike and Byron wants to jump on. That's out by Rockford. Wants to jump in and talk about the White Sox here on ESPN 1000. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. I think that Gavin Sheets is a bad third behind Vaughn. This way he gets more looks, better pitches.
Well, Moncada's
and
two. You got Anderson at one. You got Anderson at one, and you've got Moncada at two and Vaughn at three. So you're saying you should move Vaughn?
I'm saying Sheets should bat third. You don't have Sheets in the lineup today, or
he's in the lineup. He's
But he's saying instead of ideally he would have Vaughn second and
bump down Moncada.
Ideally,
that's what I'm
Vaughn
trying.
Second.
That's what I'm trying to get. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Vaughn second, then Sheets third, and then Abreu fourth.
See, right now, as of yesterday, Gavin Sheets, he had no hits, and Moncada had three hits.
Yeah, three or four, you're gonna go back and do the same thing that you did yesterday because you want to reward Yoan Moncada for going 3-for-4. You don't want to give him mixed messages, right?
Right. Well, hey, look, if Gavin Sheets, his bat heats up, certainly that's an option. But
I think the lefty bat is important right there between those righties.
You know what? Juan Soto would look really good.
Right. Thanks, Mike, for the call. Which brings us to the Twitter polls that we have to wrap up here on ESPN 1000. Couple of them, Juan Soto-centric. Brian, will the Sox make a serious offer for Juan Soto? Now, we also have, will the Cubs make a serious offer for Juan Soto? I defer to you, Brian Hanley. Do you want to talk about the Cubs Twitter poll or the Sox first?
I think Jake will give us the answer, but I think we both agreed. I think the Cubs have the financial wherewithal, and if they had the want to, but I'm not sure they do. And the White Sox have the young major league roster players and or prospects it would take. So you probably need the Cubs' money and the assets from the White Sox to get Juan Soto into Chicago. You could play
Reinsdorf has the money. does he want to let go of it? All right, so let's look at the Cubs. Will they make a serious offer for Juan Soto? Yes, no, or over Hayward's dead body, which, by the way, he's not dead.
No. And a rising no.
His career is.
72.1%, and then over Hayward's dead body at 18.2%.
Okay.
Yeah. Good teammate, gives a great.
So no and really no.
Yeah.
For that one. All right, on the south side of town, the Sox, will they make a serious offer for Juan Soto? Yes, no, or over Leury's dead body again? Not dead. Yes.
Over Leury's dead body comes in at 23.8%, and no leads the way with 66.5%.
Wow.
See, I think Sox fans are just realistic in that, yes, we may have some assets, but are we really going to pony up the money that it is going to take to get him here? Now, look, Juan Soto has the pick of the litter, right? I mean, he can go anywhere, and everybody would want him.
Not right now, he can't. Right now, he's being traded. So for the next year and a half.
Okay. But what I'm saying is, when he comes up for free agency,
2024,
right. Yeah, well, right. Okay. Let's even go back on that. Right, he does not have a choice of where he's traded. However, you know, if the Yankees make a big play for him, they have the assets to get him, and I would imagine Juan Soto wouldn't mind signing.
Well, and you said it. With the Yankees. It's a perfect scenario. Aaron Judge is not.
Let him walk. Yeah, they've been clear. They're not going to renew him.
So, I mean, the only way that you placate Yankees fans when you say no to Aaron Judge is to bring in Juan Soto and pay him.
It was almost as if they knew that Juan Soto would be available to say no to Aaron Judge. It confused me why they wouldn't bring him back in the first place.
Right. But I mean, those talks are frozen and Aaron Judge none too happy. But again, we're talking about a guy, and Juan Soto is 23, already been a World Series winner. Started slow this year, but he's batting over 400 in July with 16 RBI, whatever. He's hitting the ball out of the ballpark again. He's been going to his second All-Star game. He's last 2 years, he's led National League in on-base percentage. I mean, up and down you go. This is what it looks like. I mean, it's not like, oh, I'm not so sure we can afford, what he's not that good. He's that good. I mean, he's really good.
Yeah.
And so someone's going to have to pony up the Herschel Walker baseball package to get him, and then they're going to have to get closer to like $500 million, $500 million. And probably not as many years, because I don't think...
Yeah, the 15-year thing really, really confused me. And if the Nationals really wanted to make a better run at them, why wouldn't they say, hey, we'll give you that money, but 10 years?
Yeah. And here's a guy who walks, too, by the way. He's led the league in walks the last two seasons. So he can hit the ball out of the ballpark, he can hit anywhere, and he can take these...
He would change any team immediately for the better. And that is why... I would love to see the Sox make a play for him, but being realistic, I'm not sure it's going to happen. We don't even know if he'll hit the trade market before the deadline. We'll see.
I mean, that interesting that Jesse's take is they're going to wait till the offseason, and maybe it's because they perceive they've lost leverage here because now everyone knows.
Actually, real quick before we get to White Sox Weekly, Jesse basically said it's just too big a package to put together in such a short amount of time before the trade deadline. He just thinks it's a little too cumbersome. We'll see what ends up happening. Brian Hanley, thanks for hanging out again this weekend. We will see you next weekend right here on ESPN 1000. We've got White Sox Weekly, we did that yesterday. We've got pregame at 12:30, and then we've got first pitch against the Twins at 1:10. Tyler Rockies on the pregame next here on your home for Chicago White Sox baseball, ESPN 1000. Brian, it's been a slice, pal.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Jake.